This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday afternoon, March 18th, at the time that we are recording this, and Damon, we have got a lot to talk about on today's show. Of course, the finals of the 2018 New Japan Cup coming at you this Wednesday, March 21st in Niigata, with the big final of Zack Sabre Jr. versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. We're also going to talk a little bit about the card, or lack thereof, for the March 25th Long Beach show, and New Japan once again making out like a bandit for the Wrestling Observer Newsletter 2017 Year-End Awards. So, Damon, how about it? Where shall we begin today?
Well, I think the most recent news and the most current news to talk about, of course, is that New Japan Cup. Because for me, I'm excited for it. You know how I always kind of get into a little funk, Colin, after the Dome season, and it just didn't seem like Fantastica Mania was enough for me to kind of recharge my batteries.
But I think that happens to us all, Damon.
I think so. I really do. I think a lot of people. And I know the people that I talk to kind of say similar things, that it's, you know, kind of, you know, that whole week is just a crazy, just, you know, crazy full, chock full of pro wrestling week. And it's hard to kind of reset your battery. And usually it is Fantastica Mania that does it. And then you're all set by New Japan Cup time. But, you know, this one was a little bit more of a struggle for me. This cup, I've enjoyed every single show, even the shows where I'm kind of like, oh, okay, Lance Archer and you know, Fale. Even that was enjoyable to a certain degree for what it was. But the matches that on paper that you were excited for delivered, all of them, I think, and you know, it's helping make new stars, and it's helping, you know, reestablish, I don't want to say old stars, but, you know, foundations of the promotion have been reestablished with Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Absolutely. I think that this has been one of the best New Japan Cups in recent years. And if I don't say so myself, this New Japan Cup has been the Zack Sabre Jr. show. What a showing by this young lad, the absolute boy, getting a victory over Tetsuya Naito, getting a victory over Kota Ibushi, and most recently getting a victory over Seiya Sanada. Damon, is this guy ready for Okada at Sakura Genesis on April 1st or what?
No.
What?
I'm saying Tanahashi. Come on, you got me all hyped last week for Okada Tanahashi.
I know, I put my Bill Watts hat on and I got you all yeah. Revved up.
I was really excited, and I'm super excited. But let's talk Zach for a minute.
Because
he is legitimately
probably. What is he?
He is, Colin. He is in my top 10 favorite wrestlers right now.
He might be my favorite wrestler right now.
I can see why, because here's the thing, it's always absolutely entertaining how he can just come up with shit on the fly, it feels like. In both the most recent matches, the Ibushi match and the Sonata match, there was one spot where it was like the bow and arrow kind of thing, the arms in the back, and Zach's kind of holding him by the wrists, and you know, he's got his knee in the guy's back, and they're reversing those spots, and just the creativity of that simple spot had me hooked. It just had me captivated what he can do in a pro wrestling ring, and the creativity that he had. And again, I get, you know, the biggest knock on him is his size, right? That's what I always goddamn hear with him.
He's and a skinny young lad.
Okay, but that's I don't know. It's pro wrestling. I you don't need to have an Adonis like figure. You don't have to be.
Have to be Adrian Adonis.
Yeah, not in this day and age. You don't. That's for sure. And good on the New Japan Cup because I've enjoyed the Ibushi match, Colin. I thought that was excellent.
Yes,
outstanding.
Absolutely.
But I'll say this, Colin. I like the Sonata match better.
I'm going to have to agree with you, actually. I think the Zack Sabre Jr. Sonata match may have been my favorite match of the cup thus far.
Why is that? Why do you say that? Because I would a betting man would say that you would have said Zack and Ibushi.
Yeah, and it was Zack and Ibushi up until today when I watched the Zack Sonata match because, number one, watching Zack work with a variety of different opponents, you know, I mean, look at the three guys who he's worked with, Tetsuya Naito, Kota Ibushi, and now Seiya Sonata, three guys of different statures, three guys of different sizes, three guys of different backgrounds, and each match is a little bit different than the next. And on the Sonata side of things, I think that, dare I say, this may have been one of Seiya Sonata's best matches ever in New Japan, one of his best singles matches.
I love the pace of it. I love the fact that, again, he can make an arm bar and an ankle lock and a choke just so interesting and captivating. Yeah, I would agree with that, Colin, to a large degree.
He makes long division so fun.
He really does. He does.
I never thought learning my times tables would be this enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing it for you.
I love when he catches Sonata in different submission holds during the course of this match. When Sonata tries to do the moonsault, I think he tried to do it twice, as a matter of fact. And the last time, Zack got him in a hold, and that was the end.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that Sonata is a Muda-trained guy. So I like the fact that he's kind of whipping out those moonsaults a little bit more. I don't know if you know this, Colin, but Muda had one of his last matches before he goes in for double knee surgery, right? So he's been needing that for the fucking longest time.
I didn't even know Muda was still active, Damon.
Yeah, he's still active.
How about that?
I mean, active as much as, I mean, he's not like, you know, super full-time for Wrestle 1, but he's active. And yeah, he's having double knee, and he did a moonsault at Corkin, and there are people calling it like his last moonsault. Cause I wouldn't say he rarely does it, but it's, you know, the knees are shot to the point where if he's doing it, he shouldn't be doing it. But he did his last one. So I don't know if that's more of a tribute, maybe, possibly. I mean, Sonata's hit a moonsault before, but I noticed that there were more than I can recollect in this New Japan Cup, and I don't know if that was a little tip of the hat to Muda, who's getting those knees taken care of. Man, I can't imagine. Double knee? I mean, ooh-wee. One's bad enough. Both? Sheesh.
Could you imagine yourself with that, Damon?
I told you the story about shoveling snow and my hip just feeling like, well, this is it for me. I'm going to need a rascal scooter. That's it. I'm done. I mean, well, the way he would hit those moonsaults is, you know, it felt like his knees were always taking the impact. It felt like he was always crashing on his knees when he was doing them. And they just caught up. I mean, just and the regular wear and tear of pro wrestling, but yeah, double knee.
This ain't ballet, kid.
It really ain't. It really ain't. Those, and I think the knees are the first things to go on a pro wrestler. All right, so that's that. No, I really enjoyed that.
So while we're on the subject of Zack, let me kind of lay this out for you, okay?
All right.
So in Zack's first match in the New Japan Cup, goes up against Tetsuya Naito, arguably the most over guy in the company in Japan, right? One of the big four. I mean, main evented Tokyo Dome earlier this year, you know, loved by all. Zack gets a surprise win over Naito. Huge, right?
I would say so, sure. Yes.
Next match goes up against Kota Ibushi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Goes up against Kota Ibushi. Ibushi, one of the, I'd say he's one of the top guys in the company right now, right?
Right now, and in his positioning with Bullet Club, and specifically with Kenny Omega, yeah, I mean, he's always been at least upper mid card, right? At least upper mid card.
I would go so far as to say that Kota Ibushi this year is like squeaking his way into the big four.
That's a tough one.
Okay,
that's a tough one.
Nevertheless, Kota Ibushi, no slouch, right?
Okay, I'll give you that. Absolutely.
Zach has an amazing match with him, goes over him. Most recently, has a blowaway match with Sanada, who is in the hottest faction in New Japan, LIJ. Let me ask you, what if not to have him headline with Okada at Sumo Hall? What are all these big victories for?
You got to get to a finals, right? Somebody's got to win them.
Sure.
Right? And if the end result is to help promote and rehab Tanahashi to main event stature, then I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I mean, those are big wins.
Huge wins.
Right, and
for a guy like Zach,
right, and even if Zach doesn't, you know, make it to, you know, isn't the winner of the cup, I think he still comes out smelling like a rose.
I agree.
There's no harm in beating who he's beaten on his way to this.
But if you are attempting to build somebody up to headline with Okada, I mean, this would be one way to do it, correct?
Oh, God damn. I mean, listen, you know, again, he's going through Naito. I think it's debatable on the pecking order of LIJ at this point. I mean, obviously Naito's one, but I think there's arguments to be made whether it's Sanada or Evil in that second spot, right? And with Evil on the shelf, Sanada is that guy. So, yeah, okay, so you're mowing through pretty much the top rung of LIJ, the hottest promotion or the hottest faction in the company, right?
Yeah, the top heavyweights in LIJ. He went through them,
right? And then, you know, dare I say one of the most popular, dare I say one of the most consistent, dare I say, you know, again, I'm not putting him in the top four, but you know, he's a star. Ibushi is a fucking star.
He's the golden star.
That's correct, Colin. So again, for him to go over on him as well, and then if he does win the cup, he's beating Hiroshi Tanahashi in the finals. So yeah, either way you go with it, Colin, I'm truth be told, I'm okay. Like I'm perfectly fine with Hiroshi Tanahashi winning this. As a matter of fact, I want him to win it. I want him to win it.
At this point, I do not. I think that this is the perfect opportunity, number one, to have Okada go up against somebody new and have a different type of match. And number two, I know this probably isn't going to happen, but let's do another injury angle here and let's have Tanahashi sit out for a while, please.
No,
Zach
he's
is
fine.
The perfect guy to. He's fine.
He's fine.
Damon.
He's
you must not be
fine.
Watching what I'm watching.
He's fine. He's fine. Look, Colin, I got news for you. He's wrestling either way.
So he needs no surgery. He doesn't need to rehab anymore. He's
Colin,
good.
Colin, I just talked about fucking Muda getting double knee surgery that is needed for a century. It's just not in their DNA, man.
Okay.
I'm not saying he doesn't need it. Yeah. Listen, if he were playing, you know, football for fucking Man City, yeah, he'd be sitting.
What about cricket?
If you were playing cricket, he would dominate that fucking that.
Be careful now. We have a lot of cricket fans.
All
that
cricket
listen.
Fans. Oh, jeez, Louise.
That's not even a joke.
I know. I'm gonna get death threats from the. Man, never mind. I'm not even gonna get into that. Cricket's great, everyone. It's my favorite fucking sport. You know, if he were playing in the fucking NBA, yeah, he'd be sitting. He's not. He's a professional wrestler. And it's just not in his fucking DNA. Sorry. With that said, you mean to tell me that you don't think he has an extra gear in him for another Okada match?
Oh, of course he does.
How dare you, Colin?
I'm not doubting Tanahashi's ability to have a blow-away match with Kazuchika Okada. I'm just saying that the last time that Okada and Tanahashi had a title match, you know, with Okada defending the IWGP Heavyweight title was at, what, Wrestle Kingdom 10, right? And it just seems to me that if you're going to have another title match between these two, it would have to be at a bigger stage than Sakura Genesis.
Why?
Because
here's the thing. I think we're past the point, and I will concede this. I think we're past the point of having Tanahashi and Okada at a fucking dome. And I think we're past the point of it being at, I don't know,
Dominion?
Yeah, I think we're past that point. I'm going to concede that point. But I think this is a perfect fucking main event for Sakura Genesis.
I also think that Zack Sabre Jr. versus Okada would be a perfect main event for Sakura Genesis. Kind of like how Shibata versus Okada was the perfect main event for Sakura Genesis last year.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's the feel that I get. That's a very, very, very solid point by you because I felt that too. I felt that this was a Shibata-esque kind of feel. And again, I don't have a problem with it, Colin. I just sat here for 15 minutes telling you how, you know, my pants were down watching Zack Sabre Jr. matches all night long.
Hashtag pants down. Progress.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in on Zack. I want another Tanahashi Okada match. We're due another Okada Tanahashi.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And I think the story is perfect. I think it's built. And here's the thing, too. Those tag matches that they've had, you know, the last show, what was it? It was Finley. Finley and Tanahashi, Colin.
I saw that.
Against, how about Chucky T in a big spot? Chucky T and Okada. You mean to tell me there wasn't some teasing going on there? There was. And you see the end of that match, and Okada's got the fucking belt in the air. And Tanahashi's like, all right, I know what I'm doing if I'm winning this thing. I was excited for it. I want to see that, and I think Sakura Genesis is the perfect opportunity to have that.
I think in many ways it is the perfect opportunity to have that once again. You know, the last time we saw them wrestle in general was the G1 Climax 2 years ago, so it has been a while. We didn't see it at all in 2017, so I agree that we are due. And in many regards, I agree that the story is perfect because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that this will be Okada's 11th title defense at Sakura Genesis, and it's Tanahashi who holds the record with 11 title defenses.
Is that right?
That is right.
Wow. Fucking A. Colin, I mean, you're Bill Watson, this motherfucker. I'm just saying.
Well, listen, actually, all credit for that little factoid goes to one of our listeners out there on the Twitterverse, at Steel O'Neill. He kind of brought that to my attention. And
great job,
go,
Steel O'Neill.
Maybe go,
great
job. Okay, this is even more perfect than I had envisioned. But I do think that this is... What a great opportunity to have Okada go up against a fresh face.
Okay, so what you're saying is, Colin, and who was this? Steel what? Who?
At Steel O'Neill.
Steel, everybody follow that Steel O'Neill because he's a sharp tack. Sharp tack. So if he defends this title against Zach, he breaks Tanahashi's record, right, Colin?
Right.
Okay. So who would you rather have him break Tanahashi's record in a match against? Tanahashi himself or Zack Sabre Jr.?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, you're so full of shit. You want to see You want to see Tanahashi in a hand running zone on the wall, perfectly laid out. This is what we all want, right, everyone? I hear everybody going, no, we don't want to see it again. Well, fuck you all. We're seeing it. I want to see it. I think it'd be, I mean, seriously, I mean, can you paint a better picture? Can you paint a better picture?
The story kind of does tell itself, but I've got to be perfectly honest with you, and this is just my opinion. I don't know if anyone else shares the same opinion. Tanahashi has never felt blander to me than he does right now. That's just how I feel. I'm not saying that he still doesn't have it or whatever, or he still can't put on blowaway matches. Of course he can, but there's something about him right now as he is that just feels bland to me and dry.
Here's what you are right now, Colin Miller. You know that internet meme? You know what I'm talking about? Where the guy's kind of with his girl and he's turning his head looking at the other girl. And people are, you know,
yes,
you,
I know the exact meme you're talking about. So I'm holding hands with Tanahashi, but I'm looking behind me at Zach.
That's exactly
with his
right.
Jeremy Corbin T-shirt on.
Exactly, but that's what's happening right now, Colin. You see fresh faced Zach, your new math teacher.
Yep.
You got a little crush. And
the cute lean hip math teacher making learning fun.
Yes. Well, look, you're holding hands with the legend. You're holding hand with the ace. All right, relax. You're gonna see another legendary match. And here's the thing, too, Colin. Unfortunately, time's a ticking because we all know, you know, there's only so many fucking calendar pages left in top level Hiroshi Tanahashi. Right? There's only so much grains of sand in the hourglass that we have with top-level Hiroshi Tanahashi.
That is a good point. This would be one of the final opportunities to do this match at a high level for Tanahashi.
And Tanahashi, you know, if he's going to lose his streak, imagine if Tanahashi fucks over Okada. Oh, Lord. Imagine that.
Are you saying Tanahashi gets the victory?
I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying imagine if he does. Imagine the heads would explode in the internet wrestling community. Holy fuck.
I don't see Tanahashi breaking Okada's streak. I just don't.
Listen, Tanahashi's got some pull with the bookers, right? He's got some pull in the office. If he says it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm kidding.
So does Jushin Thunder Liger. He has a lot of pull, too, but I don't.
I was watching him on, you know, Nakanishi has his own little show, right? Nakanishi World.
Right.
Right. And I'm watching him and Liger in this tiny, tiny little restaurant. And I don't understand a lick of it because it's all in Japanese. All the graphics on the show, Japanese. And I'm watching it for a half an hour just because I'm just in love.
Because you're an animal.
Because I'm in love with Jushin Liger. So it's Nakanishi and Liger in this tiny restaurant just eating various meals. And that was the entire show, and I watched all half hour of it like a maniac. All right,
wow, look at you.
I know. So what other highlights do we have, Colin? So, again, is Sonata – now I'm going to ask you this. Sonata and Zach, is that your favorite match of the cup? Did you answer that?
Yeah, Sonata and Zach is my favorite match of the cup.
Then Elgin?
That's interesting because I was just going to say that second place would be Zach versus Ibushi, but that Ishii Elgin match was damn good. However, there's another guy. See, that's the thing. Elgin's another one of those guys that just feels so bland to me, despite how good he is in the ring, that it almost detracts from my enjoyment just a smidge. And you know what? I do find it kind of almost humorous in a way how they have Elgin go over Ishii, right? He's going up against Juice, who screwed him out of a U.S. title shot at the G1, and Juice wins again.
Yeah. Yeah. Juice has had a good tournament. Now, listen, you saw that's the one match I have yet to see. I'll give you full disclosure. I've yet to see the Juice Tanahashi match. But I heard it was good, not great. I heard it was good, not great. Colin, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. I watched it yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I thought that it was a good pro wrestling match. And I stress those words, pro wrestling. This was a good pro wrestling match, but for me, I felt that it dragged in spots. I thought that it was a bit long, and I'm looking at the timestamp right now, and it was about a half hour.
Okay.
These guys went about a half hour, and it did feel like it was dragging in spots for me. It picked up towards the end, but overall, good pro wrestling match.
Where would you put this in the catalog of Juice Robinson matches?
I think that his match with Okada during the G1 was better. I think that his matches with Omega have been more exciting. Okay. I'd rank this at maybe number three.
Okay, because I heard Kevin Kelly on the pre-show, was it, maybe? I don't know, something like that.
Kevin Kelly, who's been calling these shows solo for the most part, really.
Yeah, but he's had some guests, too. I heard Fale in the mix a little
yep,
bit.
Yep, I heard that Fale was, this morning. That was
that was Yoshi Yoshitatsu-esque. Yeah.
Well, listen, he's a man of few words, right?
He really is. He certainly is.
Very soft-spoken giant. And,
he really is. Very soft-spoken. That is true.
He also had young David Finlay.
Oh, I thought he did very well.
Yeah, I found him quite entertaining, actually.
Here's what this taught everyone, though. Just because you know how to step in the ring doesn't mean that you're good on the mic and good on the mic in a color commentary role, right?
I thought you were going to say that they should make it a three-man booth from now on with David Finlay.
Well, I mean, I think he was the best of the bunch.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think Chucky T might be in that mix somewhere. But here's the thing. There is that some people get turned off by just the word I'm looking for as a professional broadcaster.
What?
Maybe this is not the word. So, but this
the
is
bird
the closest
is the
thing
word.
I can come up. Aloofness of like the kind of nah, it's not even aloofness. Maybe the carefreeness of the Chucky T.
Yeah.
In commentary, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way, because a lot of that is his appeal. But it was like listening to a PWG show. Does that make sense? You know how it's
it's very jokey, in other words.
Yeah.
There's a lot of inside jargon going on.
Right. And listen, I like a little bit of inside jargon. I don't like too much.
Takes you out of the match sometimes.
I'm nitpicking, honestly, because I think they both did okay. I think I like David a little bit more. But I did hear complaints about the commentary, the color commentary. It's not an easy gig. As you can see, it's not an easy gig. And I think Kevin Kelly did a great job kind of wet nursing some of those guys through that. Some of it was like pulling teeth a little bit. But listen, I only listened to one of the English commentaries, Colin, but I hear Voices of Wrestling getting a lot of shout outs. We are a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. So I'm very happy to hear that, but I don't hear any individual Purecast anymore, Colin. What the fuck's going on?
I haven't heard a shout out to Damon and Colin for a while. I might be mistaken, but
I don't know. You know what the fuck?
We might be falling in Kevin Kelly's good graces. I don't know.
Well, listen, everybody's hitting up Kevin Kelly. Everybody wants the shout out from Kevin Kelly.
Everybody wants a piece.
We were there first. So back off, everybody. All right. Stop hitting it on our territory. Maybe he's saving the best for last, Colin. Maybe he's saving the best for the finals so that Don Callis can bury us while he's there.
I don't know why we didn't get Colin to sit in on some of these shows. I mean, of course, granted, you'd have to pay for my airfare, my hotel, my food. I mean, I'm not spending a dime here, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I don't.
An invite would be nice.
Hey, listen. I think we could do a good job on the mic. Yeah, we can help get everybody over. Anywho, that was that. Again, I heard good things about Juice and Tanahashi. I'm trying to think what else was. What else did we not talk about? Yano and Sonata.
Yano and Sonata. Yes.
Right. We don't. I don't. Is there any reason to go over this?
I don't think so.
All right. Good. We talked about Lance and Fale. How about Tanahashi? Was it Tanahashi Fale?
Yeah, Tanahashi Fale. Well, Damon, what did I say off the air? I mean, you've seen one Tanahashi Fale match. You've pretty much seen them all.
I was surprised. I actually was. Because usually this is, you know, the Fale, you know, reminder tournament.
I'm here.
it really feels like that's what it is.
I'm a threat.
Yeah. And he is. But yeah, I was a little surprised. But I think the handwriting's on the wall for Tanahashi Okada. I really, really do. And I think that makes Tanahashi even stronger, that he's able to kind of find a way to get through this buzzsaw, if you will, of Zack Sabre Jr.
I hope that Zack takes that bad arm and he just cranks it and cranks it and cranks it.
Well, look, also from these New Japan Cup shows, it looks like we're building up toward something that I'm particularly interested in. I was excited to see these things develop. Was, well, really two things. One, Naito and Suzuki, I think, is an outstanding program if it comes to pass, and it looks like it will, right?
That's something I've been sort of clamoring for quite some time now.
I think that looks great on paper. It does, again, leave me questioning. And again, who was the first person to question this, Colin? And again, I'm still going to question it because, again, you haven't heard anything. And there was a little rumble from Chris Jericho as well. But you don't really hear much about Chris Jericho, do you?
No, you don't. And he was asked on Twitter a couple weeks ago, so what's your deal with New Japan? Are you still with him? And he said, unfortunately, no. Now,
right.
Jericho
exactly.
is one of those guys who likes to, you know, he likes to work people. He's still of that old school mentality of sort of keeping things hush-hush. He's notorious for that, really, throughout his career with all of his surprise returns. However, there is a part of me that felt that response was very direct and authentic and to the point, and it got me thinking, maybe they just don't have enough money to pay this guy.
Or whatever, or schedules, or what have you. Who knows? But, again, I'll bring it up again. Haven't heard his name mentioned once.
Nope.
Once. He's not in any video packages. Nothing. Okay? Now, again, his Twitter account is notorious. No, notorious, as Simon would sing, of working his followers. And that's fine. And everyone's like, well, okay, well, then that means it'll be at Strong Style Evolve. Well, they're just saving it for that, Colin. Well, I've heard it throughout the whole entire calendar. Oh, they're saving it for this show. Oh, they're saving it for whatever, you know, Strong Style Evolve. Oh, no, they're going to save it for the...
They're saving it for the Cow Palace.
Well, we'll get there. But again, maybe they are, Colin. Maybe they are. But... I just think it's very strange, and I'll say it again. When I left Cork and Hall at New Year Dash this past January 5, the buzz was not Jay White. The buzz was nothing else but Jericho and Naito and that little brawl that they had. That was the buzz of everyone walking out of that building and as we stammered over to Yano's and drank gallons of alcohol. Okay,
gallons. So, jeez.
Oh yeah, I was well, that was the day I was drinking all well no not that day I wasn't drinking all day that day, but I was still drinking heavily. Masahiro is a drinker. Our friend Masahiro, he can drink, and he had the bag already prepared, Colin, of delicious treats. They had like little chips, little crisps, and he had two strong zeros with my name on it. He's a good egg. He's a good egg, that guy. Yeah, so we went to Giannis. But anyway, my point being, Colin, is, okay, we're going to wait patiently for Chris Jericho, but it looks like it is Suzuki that's going to bide Naito's time, and I am all in on that.
Is Naito Shinsuke Nakamura at this point?
In what regards?
Going after the IC title yet again? After an unsuccessful challenge at the Dome for the heavyweight title?
I'll tell you what, if you're looking for somebody to drop a strap, you know, that I would not be surprised to see that.
Is that his spot in the company though at this point, similar to Nakamura's, you know, who made the IC title what it is?
I'm going to give you a solid possibly. And the reason I say that is this. I don't know how you could get a guy more ready and groomed and rocking and rolling to take a title than Naito at the Dome. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you can replicate the...
All the stars were aligned, in other words.
He was... there were not many people that walked into that building thinking Naito was going to walk out of there, not as champion. There's something that they don't see.
How much more over could you be? And the answer is none.
You can't, right? You can't. And I'll go so far as to say is maybe he has cooled off from that. Now again, can they raise the heat on him a little bit? Bring up, yeah, of course. But I'm not saying he's dropped like a rock, Colin. Don't get me wrong.
You know what? A similar thing sort of happened to Omega back in 2016. Remember when he first became a heavyweight, became really hot, was IC champion? Then there was that period, if you remember, where he did sort of cool off, but then he won the G1 and the rest is history. So I just thought I'd point that out.
Right. I'm not saying that he can't be at that level again. I mean, he didn't drop far, or maybe a notch or two. But again, it was the hottest he was going to be in my eyes, the way I felt. So, easy enough to bring him back up. But is the Intercontinental title his sweet spot?
It's just a thought possibly. That I'm sort of throwing out there. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. But I'm sort of getting that Nakamura vibe at this point, where you are insanely over, but that is your sector. That's your area. The IC title. That is your belt.
Feels like it right now. If you ask me right now, that's the case. Yeah, that's where we are right now.
Now, did you mention that there was another feud that you were looking forward to?
Not feud, but something that I found pretty entertaining and interesting, and I think might be a good look for both guys. And that was the tag team of Juice and Elgin.
Oh, my God.
I like that.
Still with the Michael Elgin. Damon.
I'm just saying that. All right, listen. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with Juice? What are you going to do with Juice and Elgin?
I almost feel Elgin weighs Juice down at this point.
You mean to tell me that just sticking the fucking tag belts on them is going to hurt either one of those two?
No, it's not going to hurt either one of them. But I don't know. I feel like Juice at this point.
Well, listen, you got him for 2 years. Sorry.
Especially in terms of sheer charisma. Is a step or two ahead of Big Mike at this point. And I don't want anyone to misconstrue this as me not liking Michael Elgin wrestling, because I do. I thought that the Ishii match was great. But again, when he comes out, it's just like, all right, there's all right, Mike.
Well,
here he comes.
Okay, fine. I will concede that point to you here today. You got Juice, who's the charisma magnet. They're calling him the flamboyant one now, Colin. I don't know if you saw that.
The flamboyant one, Juice Robinson.
But flamboyant is in there. Right?
The charismatic enigma.
Yeah, well, he's got the charisma, right? There's no doubt about that. And I liked it. I found it very interesting and very entertaining. And I wouldn't have a problem if we saw more of that. All right? So take that, Colin.
I want Juice going after that Never title. I really do.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Get the Never title back to its roots for the young upstarts. Not guys who have been around the block forever, like Chief J. Hiroki Goto. No offense.
I like the Never title on Goto.
I do too, but again, I'm like a broken
record.
You're
into the fresh blood.
Title.
You're really into like a fresh start.
Well, that's what that title was always meant to be.
Well, I mean, to a certain degree. I mean, you know, you look at the people who've held that title throughout its history.
Well,
it's not really. I mean, listen, they might have said that out loud once or twice, but really
it's not a who's who.
Right? Well, I mean, listen, it is what it is, but you know, it's. Oh, the names on there are. I'm not knocking the names on there, but you know, it's not you know, a young and up and coming title. That's not.
Could
really
be if they let it though. Could be.
It could be anything if you let it, but you know, it's not what it is. I think that the idea of what you're making it out to be died a long time ago. I think that's a safe statement. And it can be the singles wrestler's first title. It can be that.
Can we get the IWGP TV title already? Have 15 minute time limits. It's defended every week.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Arn Anderson. All right. I would have no problem with you trying to go for that. But I saw the tag team. I like the tag team. They're not doing anything with either of them anyway. So just, you know, why not? You know, why not? All right, what else have we got, Colin?
Well, Damon, after the New Japan Cup wraps up on March 21st, which, for the record, you're going with Tanahashi, right?
Yes, I am on the record.
All right, you're on the record going for Tanahashi.
Me and who else? Who's the Twitter guy? I keep forgetting the poor guy's name. Who's the Twitter guy?
I forgot it already.
Ah,
I forgot it already. But I am going to go on the record, and I'm going to say that Zack Sabre Jr., is going to go on a roll here. He's going to defeat Tanahashi and go on to main event his first major New Japan show against Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight title.
All right. I'll bet you one American dollar.
One American dollar it is.
All right. Very good. All right. So that's that with the cup. I think it's been exciting. I think everybody would agree. But then after the New Japan Cup, Colin, we have an event in Long Beach, California.
We do on March 25th, an event where, as of right now, only three matches have been announced. And one of those matches is sort of up in the air because Rey Mysterio Jr., who was scheduled to go up against Jushin Thunder Liger at this Long Beach show, a match that everybody was excited about, I think. He was diagnosed as a grade 1 partially torn left biceps. And he was at a Comic-Con recently, and of course I'm getting all this info from The Observer. And he said he wasn't sure if he'd be able to do the match or not. So that's sort of up in the air. And beyond that, we've got two other matches, and that's it.
Well, Liger's in Chicago right now, Colin. So he's getting prepared.
Do you have like a Jushin Liger tracker on your phone, like an app that tells you exactly where he is at all times?
Yes. When I embraced him, I embedded it in his earlobe.
It's like the Santa tracker that the kids, you know, look at on Christmas Eve.
That was always cute. The little, was it Nora? Is it? They would have a saddle. Yeah, that was always nice.
Was that a work?
Was it what?
Was that a never
was
mind?
That a work?
Never mind. Forget it.
Yeah, it is a little concerning. Now, listen, they can't announce matches because there's still a tale to be told with the New Japan Cup, right? So I'm sure that there's a lot of that going on right now, in the sense of we know who's going. We know the matches that are going to occur, but we just can't say anything because there's still a story to play out with the New Japan Cup. But, yeah, I mean, does this – Who is the person? It might have been the Voices of Wrestling team who were the first one to vocalize this on a podcast. But I've said this many times in the past. I'm not taking credit for it. They said it on a podcast. That is this, Colin. Never buy a ticket without knowing the card, right? This nonsense of these people are appearing. And these people are on a poster, but we don't know a lineup or any. It's nonsense.
I've heard this nugget of wisdom from you before.
It is. It's nonsense. It's somewhat bait and switchy. Because I guarantee you, people are going to be like, "Well, where's Yuji Nagata? Yuji Nagata ain't fucking going to be there, right? Where's the I don't know. Name me another fucking guy. Where's David Finlay? Good possibility David Finlay's not going to be
where's
there.
Where's Manabu Nakanishi?
Yes." I'll be wearing his tracksuit.
Literally.
Yes, I will. He will. It's his. Yeah. So there is a little bit of that, right? Now, there are three matches. And those matches, Liger and Mysterio, which, again, is iffy at best at this point, right? People have said that he can work through the injury. If he's saying he's iffy, all right? Then we got what? Hangman Page against Jay White.
For the U.S. title. Damon, does that sound like a sexy match or what?
I ain't flying in for Jay White, Adam Page, with all due respect. That is not a match that's going to get me on an airplane traveling across the country. Okay?
Might be a good match. Probably will be.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's good.
Both guys are, well, especially Jay White, and Hangman Page has sort of been coming into his own. So, I mean, keep an eye out for that match, certainly.
Yeah,
but like you said, nothing to fly in for.
That's not a match to fly in for. And then the Golden Lovers against the Young Bucks, which absolutely is a match to fly in for.
Yes, agreed.
All right. So that has everybody excited, no doubt.
Now the list of people that are scheduled to appear are as follows: Kazuchika Okada.
Okay. Well, he might not be world champion, but okay.
Right.
Well, he'll be world champion.
Yeah, he will be world champion, but Zack Sabre Jr. has him in his crosshairs. Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Okay.
Your man.
Yes.
Tetsuya Naito.
Okay.
I assume Chris Jericho is going to jump the barricade at whatever match Naito's in and attack him, right?
I mean, if they're going to do it, that's a nice spot to do it in.
It is.
Truth be told. But it does feel like we're doing Suzuki first, right? But again, if there's going to be a jumping of a barricade, that's the place to do it.
Sanada, Bushi, Takahashi.
Okay, so your LIJs.
Suzuki.
Suzuki's scheduled to be there, huh?
He's on the list. Staring at it right now. So Suzuki, Zach, Lance Archer, and Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Okay, so Suzuki Goon.
Right.
All right. A lot of people scheduled. I'm sure we'll see multi-man tags up the ass, right? I mean, what do you think? We got another five matches on this show?
Yeah. I mean, so we have three. One of them's up in the air. Yeah. At least another five matches, the majority of them, which are going to be multi-man tags. Sure.
All right. So, look. Again, I don't know if I think I'm not worried. Let's put it that way. I'm not worried in the sense of, listen, all these people are scheduled to be there. Okay. I think they will be there. Two, I think they already have the matches in their mind. They can't announce things given that we still have a little ways to go with this New Japan Cup. That's got to get fleshed out. Do I think this is going to be G1-esque? Like Long Beach G1-esque. I think you're going to see a card very similar to what we saw last time in Long Beach. I don't think you're going to see a gigantic New Japan show. I think you're going to see a New Japan show that feels a whole lot like a Ring of Honor show.
And I don't think that there's any doubt that Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks should be a blowaway match.
It'll be great. I mean, it'll tear the roof off the fucking joint. No doubts. There's zero doubts. Unless something, something terrible happens, and I wish that on none of the participants. If something terrible happens, that's the only way that this match goes down the shitter. Really, I just can't see it happening.
So it's a busy next two weekends, actually, because this show, the Long Beach show, is next Sunday, the 25th, and the Sunday after that is April 1st, Sakura Genesis. So bam, bam, back-to-back big shows for New Japan.
Right, and then after that is Mania Weekend, where a lot of the New Japan talent is in New Orleans.
That's right.
Right, so we got Ishii that's on a handful of shows. He's on the Ring of Honor show, if I'm not mistaken. He's on that Wrestle Cage show thingamabob against Jeff Cobb, which should be a fucking hoot.
Is Omega going to interfere in the Reigns-Lesnar match? No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I know. Everybody asks. So Tanahashi's there. Golden Lovers are there in a tag match against Chucky T and a partner yet to be named. Wouldn't it be something if it's Okada?
That would be something if it's Okada because sure isn't going to be Beretta, who's out with torn pec and triceps.
Yeah, he just had surgery. I have a friend. I have a friend who's she's a big, big Best Friends fan. Big fan. And she's going to the show. And she's like, who do you think's the partner's going to be? And I'm like, well, in New Japan, here's what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. And her head was about to fucking, she's like, are you really think that there is a, even the slightest possibility that Okada would be that tag partner? And I was like, well, look, A, they're off that week. Obviously, they're everybody, a lot of them are coming in. I can't say it's the, I would say it's probably at like 20 or 30% that that would happen. That would be amazing. But I can't see that fucking happening, Colin, right? Tell me that's not going to happen.
I don't think that they're going to fly in Okada to New Orleans the week after a major match. I just don't see that happening. Maybe I'm wrong. I just think it sounds a little far-fetched.
Sounds like a Tanahashi match at Sakura Genesis, doesn't it?
it sure does.
All right. Well, listen, you just crushed your dream. So the way to go, Colin.
Well, Damon, last thing that I want to talk about today here on the show are these 2017 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards, because once again, New Japan Pro Wrestling racking up the awards in all major categories.
I agree. Colin, can we just hop 1 second? Can we go back just a second to Long Beach? Because there's one thing I did want to discuss, if that's okay by you. I know you're driving the ship. Is that okay?
That's fine with me, Damon.
You're the best. It was announced that New Japan was holding a date open in the summertime, this summertime, I should say, for another date in the United States.
Yes, on the West Coast.
They love that West Coast, let me tell you.
That's their American territory, I suppose.
Well, they got the dojo out there, right? They have this dojo event that sold out in like 10 seconds, apparently. Shibata's the head trainer out there.
I've heard.
That's great news. I mean, you heard, though, that it could possibly not be in California?
Yeah, so I was hearing a couple different things. So, like you, I heard San Francisco, the Cow Palace, which would be huge. I think that seats about 14,000. And I also heard rumblings of possibly Las Vegas.
Here's the thing with the Vegas. I don't know the distance between San Francisco and Long Beach, to be quite truthful. I don't know how I feel about the
entertainment capital of the world, Damon.
Well, here's
Jennifer
the
Jennifer Lopez will be there at the show with A-Rod.
Wow. If I bought tickets to Strong Style Evolved, I might be a little fucking perturbed. Just for the closeness of the date, it's not that close, actually. End of March, July. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Saving all their big stuff for the summer.
You think so? You think all the big shit's going to happen there?
Yeah. I do, because listen, especially if they
bigger
do the
building.
If they do the, you're right, if they do the Cow Palace, which will be the biggest building they've done in the States, you kind of have to have something pay-per-view quality on there, right?
Yeah.
Can we just make that an NJPW World exclusive event, though?
You don't want it on Access, huh?
No, I kind of don't.
You do.
I feel like the Access almost cheapens it in a way.
Kyle, more people watch fucking Access than they have subscribers on New Japan World.
Oh, I know that.
So, I mean, you can't, as much as us hardcore New Japan Pro Wrestling fans prefer, if we're going to get English commentary, we would prefer a Kevin Kelly over a Jim Ross. You know that the value of having that show on Access TV is tenfold.
Well, I will say this, for the second year in a row now, the best weekly television show per the Observer Newsletter Awards is New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right, so let's talk awards, being that, that's where we're. I just wanted to bring up that one point with the Cal Palace. Look, we know that that was a banner year, 2017, for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And the only award that I'm kind of like on is that best TV show.
As far as like the sheer quality of pro wrestling matches you're going to see, I mean, if you're watching a weekly episodic pro wrestling show for pro wrestling, then New Japan Pro Wrestling is hard to beat.
Yes, because they are literally putting on their pay-per-view events.
Cream of the crop right there on television.
Right, that's cheating. Right, that's kind of cheating.
Kind of, but listen, it's still a weekly television show, is it not?
It is, but it feels to me like, you know, if the WWE put on, you know, their pay-per-view events, it still wouldn't beat New Japan's.
They do that all the time, though. They throw pay-per-view. They waste matches all the time.
They do. I will say that, but you know my point. If they put on fucking, you know, SummerSlam,
Reigns win the title on Raw one time.
I know. I hear your point. My point, but you see my point.
I do see your point. If they put on like a SummerSlam caliber card every week,
right? It's kind of hard to not be the best fucking TV show with, you know, your best matches. It's not like they're churning out a weekly television show, right? And so I think it's a little unfair. A little unfair. Yes, it's on every week. Yes, it's a wrestling show. Yes, it is the best in-ring product that you're going to find on TV, mind you. Dude, I mean, I don't know on his awards if TV show, does that include streaming stuff?
Well, I can tell you that number two is NXT, which is on a streaming service.
Okay.
Number three is CMLL Friday Night Arena Mexico, which...
That's on their TV, though.
Yeah, that's on their TV. You can stream it here. Number four is Being the Elite, which is a YouTube show.
Really?
Yeah, that's number four. Got over 1,000 votes.
I mean, it depends on what your definition of TV is. I mean, TV now is streaming. To me, TV is streaming. I watch more streaming things than I do TV shows.
I don't have cable.
Right. Okay, there you go. So I think that line has been crossed. I think we're in a day and age where that line has been crossed, right? My wife watches fucking makeup people and travel bloggers and shit like that. Again, we rarely have standard cable television on. So it depends on what the definition of a TV show is.
And you're watching Nakanishi and Liger eat breakfast somewhere.
But that's on network television in Japan.
Right.
Right. They get the quality fucking program.
You're not going to find that here in the States.
No, you will not. But again, the voters. Know what I always love to? When people rip on Dave for these things. It's like Dave did not award these. These are the readers of the Observer that voted.
It's very similar to how the listeners of the New Japan Purocast cast their vote in our year-end awards.
Yes, it is, Colin.
A lot of the results were the same, by the way.
I was about to say, how similar were they?
I think that Wrestler of the Year, like the top three, was exact. It was exactly the same as our awards.
Is that right? Okay, good. All right, listen. We have some very, very, very smart and very knowledgeable listeners.
It was Okada, number one, of course, Wrestler of the Year. Number two, Omega. Number three, Naito. And I think AJ was number four.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how I would vote. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the way it fleshed out for 2017. How big of a margin was it between Okada and Omega?
Well, Okada had over 5,000. Omega had over 3,000.
Okay.
So low 5,000s, low 3,000s.
So I guarantee you a ton of first place votes for Okada. And if they were voting second, it was probably Omega. I'm sure Omega got plenty of first place votes, so you don't get that kind of number without it. All right, so that's Wrestler of the Year. You wouldn't have to have the history there, would you?
I sure do, right in front of me.
Look at you, Colin. You're a fucking. You know what? this is why you are podcast host of the year, as awarded by no one, me. I just gave it to you.
Which means nothing.
It really doesn't. All right, so let's go through the list. How many years in a row has a New Japan Pro wrestler won this award?
Well, let's see here. 1980 was Harley Race.
No. I mean, we're not going to have to go back. Go back. So it was
81 was Harley Race.
Right. Okay, I know that.
No.
Right.
Okay, so let's see. In 2011, Tanahashi won. 2012, Tanahashi. 2013, Tanahashi. 2014, Shinsuke Nakamura. 2015, AJ Styles, who at the time that was for his NJPW stuff, and 2016, AJ Styles for actually a mixture NJPW WWE.
Okay, so AJ winning it put a little monkey wrench in my fucking thing of it's all New Japan.
No, because listen, 2016, AJ Styles had one of the best matches of the year against Nakamura in a New Japan ring, so
correct, but
it still kind of counts.
Sort of. Most of that is under the WWE banner. All right, but that's fair enough. And truth be told, he probably deserved it to win it that year. No, I mean, he had an outstanding fucking year.
You know who won in 1991, Damon?
Who won in 1991? Was that? It wasn't Liger, was it?
It was not Liger.
All right, give me another one more guess. 91. It wasn't Misawa.
Nope.
It wasn't Kobashi.
Nope.
It was Flair won it in 90, right?
Correct.
91 was I think it's like a weird one, wasn't it? Wasn't it a weird one?
It was.
Or was it somebody that
Jumbo Tsuruta?
Yeah, Jumbo. Okay. Yeah, he had a great year. Yeah, for all Japan. Yeah, Jumbo had a great year. That was the beginning. That was the beginning of kind of like the, I don't want to say the old guard, like Jumbo and. Kind of turning the promotion over to the Misawas and the Kawadas and all those guys. All right, so that's Wrestler of the Year. Great job by the listeners and readers.
Okada's first time, by the way, as Wrestler of the Year. And boy, did he deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, there's... go back and listen to the fucking past shows during 2017, and I said he probably had the best year of any pro wrestler alive.
Now, the other major category that Okada came in first place in was most outstanding wrestler. And I sort of compare this to, you know how we have wrestler of the year and then listeners' favorite wrestler?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is in a sense, whereas like wrestler of the year, you're taking a look at the whole picture, whereas I feel like most outstanding wrestler. Like, for example, you could say Okada was Wrestler of the Year, but the most outstanding wrestler was Omega or Naito. You know what I mean?
I think outstanding wrestler is limited to in-ring work quality.
Right.
Right? So Wrestler of the Year is the whole package. So not only your matches, how much of a draw, how much of an importance to the promotion
Gates.
You are, all the whole piece, the whole pie. Whereas outstanding wrestler is what you produce in the ring. For instance, give me some of the past winners of outstanding wrestler of the year.
Past winners of outstanding wrestler of the year: 2016, AJ Styles.
Right.
2015, AJ Styles. 2014, AJ Styles.
In ring.
2013, Tanahashi. 2012, Tanahashi.
Right. These are all workers. You know, these are guys who can fucking churn out great matches.
And you have Davey Richards in there, and Brian Danielson won it many, many years in a row. And
that is correct. Yes. Yes. So that's in ring. That's a guy in the ring. All right. So who were the winners this year?
Top three, number one, Okada, of course. Yeah. Most outstanding wrestler. Number two, Kenny Omega.
Sure. Okay.
And number three, AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing too. I mean, who else are you going to vote for in WWE? Truth be told, last year.
Yeah, other than AJ, as far as, you know, if you're looking for outstanding,
outstanding
right. in ring work, the choices
Kevin
are
Owens?
Yeah. Oh, geez, maybe.
Right. I mean, it's a stretch, but you could.
Who else is on the main roster is a better worker than AJ right now?
Well, I mean, listen, if they're allowed to go. You know, if there were no handcuffs, I think Sami Zayn's on that list, right?
Yeah, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, a lot of the usual suspects.
Obviously Nakamura, right?
Right.
If you let him go and do what he, you know, can do. I think Kevin Owens is outstanding. I think if you, again, let him go. Here's the thing. I think there's a lot of guys on that roster, if you let him go, could perform at a very high level.
Damon, do you know that AJ Styles and Nakamura will be facing each other for the first time at at WrestleMania?
Who said this?
No. It's just that's sort of how I think that they're building this as the dream match,
right,
which you can watch on NJPW World for $9.99 yen.
Right, go back to 2000.
No, I think it'll be great though. Seriously.
Probably will be great. All right, what else we got, Colin, in these awards?
Yeah, just really quick, I wanted to also mention that, like, the most outstanding wrestler, basically the bulk of the wrestlers on here are all New Japan guys. Like I said, you know, Okada was number one, Omega number two, AJ number three. Then after that, it's Naito, Ishii, Kushida, Zack, Ospreay, Ibushi.
Man. All of them had great years, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. Well, like you said, 2017 was quite the year. Next major category after that, Damon, for the fourth year in a row, Tag Team of the Year, who else but the Young Bucks?
And again, not even considering their New Japan. I mean, obviously considering, but it's not just their New Japan work. It's all over the country of the United States and Australia. And, you know, yeah, I can't think of anybody else who's, I mean, who else would be close? Who came in second? The Usos?
Yep, it's the Usos in second, and then War Machine coming in at number three.
Okay. Well, War Machine was close in ours, right?
Yeah.
They came in second.
The Bucks won ours, though.
Yes, that is correct. And they've won it just as many years in ours, just like the Observer.
Yeah, right.
Really have. Okay. I mean, I don't know enough of the Usos' body of work, but they're the first tag team that comes to mind. I mean, he's not going to be fucking Gallows and Anderson, you know.
I really do miss those days when we would record this podcast and we would have to review a good old Doc Gallows match and talk about cock swings and those were the days, man.
Yeah, they really were.
Those were the fucking days.
Somebody needs to bring the cock swing back.
There was nothing like classic Purocast was like 86 UWF in a sense. You know, or like 89 NWA.
Jim Ross going fucking nuts.
Oh, man.
Michael Hayes!
That 2015 Purocast. Go back and listen to those episodes, kids.
They're putting the flag on Bill Watts. That's the Russian flag.
Oh, Lord. All right. Yeah, so Young Bucks, Tag Team of the Year.
Okay.
Promotion of the Year for the sixth year in a row, Damon. New Japan Pro Wrestling is the Promotion of the Year with one of their partners, Ring of Honor, coming in at number two.
Okay. Very good. Good job by Ring of Honor.
But by far, New Japan got the most votes. I mean, this was...
Yeah.
This was almost 6,000 votes. Go ahead.
Where's my new favorite promotion, Progress?
Progress comes in at a respectable... number six with 552 votes.
Yeah. All right. Not bad. Listen, I'm telling you, kids, get on the Progress bandwagon if you haven't done so already. We're gonna do the New Japan Progress podcast.
The new Japan Progress cast.
Right. I'm all in on it. All right. All right. That's fair enough. 6 years in a row. That's pretty impressive, actually.
That is pretty impressive. I did go over Best Weekly Television Show already, New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access for the second year in a row. However, as a whole, since 1983, I think that New Japan Pro Wrestling has won Best Weekly Television Show. I think this was, I think it's seven times in total.
Okay. And that's even without TV. You know, they had that really weird stretch in the 2000s where, you know, they were on at like 3 in the morning for like 15 minutes.
Well, I want to ask you about that, actually. So I'm looking at Best Weekly Television Show. Previous winners, 1983 New Japan Pro Wrestling. What was that exactly?
So they had weekly television. And in the 80s, in the early 80s, it was prime time television. So it would be like the equivalent of having WWE on Fox, right? So they had I don't want to say it was a full hour, but, you know, it was a weekly show that they would tape. And it wasn't like it was in the studios of WTBS. They were filming these matches in arenas, but they weren't, you know, they were TV tapings that they were, you know, taping for TV. So a lot of this stuff, you know, obviously can't be on the network because New Japan doesn't own the rights. But if you're looking through, like, back in the day when we traded videotapes, all the stuff that you would see from the 80s and the early 90s were, you know, it was their weekly episodic TV show.
They need to get that up on the network.
They won't right now. That's I've been saying it for years, that that's some of the best stuff New Japan has ever done, and you'll never see it. It's not on the network.
Who can we get a hold of who has all of this material?
Me.
Really?
Yeah. I have hard drives. I have it all on hard drives.
Man, you've got to give me that 83 hard drive.
82 is a great year. 84 is a great year.
Whatever. Just give me something.
Yeah, I have it all. Actually, my 90s is a little shaky. My mid to early 90s is a little shaky because I didn't transfer everything over to videotape. I have no idea where the fuck the videotapes are.
Can we get the Damon McDonald streaming service for like 99 cents a month and we get access to all this shit UWF?
You know what I wanted to do when I was growing up?
What?
Not even growing up, like as in like 2 weeks ago. I always wanted to own a bar and just have wrestling just playing on the TV, like just have like different promotions on the, like
a variety of wrestling.
Would be on. Yeah, Old Memphis would be on, Progress would be on, All Japan would be on. You know, I mean, different. I always wanted to do that.
Nitro would be on.
All the Nitros would be on. But yeah, truth be told, I mean, listen, the internet is a wonderful thing, kids.
See, my dream was always to open up a Quentin Tarantino themed restaurant.
Ah.
And there'd be all TVs around the bar or whatever, and it would have Tarantino movies playing, and all the menu items would be references from the movies, like the Royale with cheese, etc.
You know the Kill Bill restaurant is in Tokyo. I had lunch there one time.
Yeah, that's right.
I was there.
Damn.
Yes. A little bit of a tourist trap, but yes, I was there.
So the last major category here, pro wrestling match of the year, coming in at number one, Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega from the Tokyo Dome, January 4th. That came in at number one, and their Osaka match from Dominion came in at number two. Actually, Damon, the top five matches are all New Japan.
Top five. Wow.
Top five. So it's Okada Omega Dome 1, Okada Omega Dominion 2, Okada Shibata, Sakura Genesis, number three.
That's almost ours, right?
What's
that?
That
ours? That's how ours.
That you
out,
know
right?
What? That might. I think that was our top three. I think that was our top three. So it just goes to show you, a lot of PuroCast listeners are also Observer subscribers.
Smart fans.
I
all
feel
right.
Like we should be getting a cut
there?
Of this from Dave, but no. I'm joking. Number four, Naito Omega from the G1 Finals, one of my favorites.
Right.
And number five, Okada Omega, G1 Semifinals.
Oh, good for New Japan. Yeah, I mean, they had a great year. Give me a match that made their top 10 that wasn't New Japan.
Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne.
Was that that was NXT, right? That was the British Championship match,
well,
was it?
It says May 20th in Chicago. I think that was NXT.
Yeah, so that might have been the that British Championship.
And there's also Cena versus AJ from the Rumble in San Antonio. That was a good match. LA Park versus Rush, Mexico City, back in March. And then Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijak. I still need to check that match out from
Bola. Was that
Bola.
From Pro Wrestling Guerrilla?
Yeah.
Bolt, yeah.
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 Number 10.
Dijak is in NXT now, right?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Mm, they sign everybody, man.
They really do. They're a monster. They're a monster. Oh, yeah.
All right. That's good news for New Japan. Well, look at that. All right. Podcast of the year? Did they vote for that?
There is no podcast of the year category. However, I'm sure that the PuroCast would be in the top three, right?
You think so?
It's us and Jericho
I think it'd be like Jericho, Austin, and like I don't know. I would be thrilled to be playing. Hey, you know what? I did see something about a book. And one of the voices of wrestling correct me if I'm wrong. The New Japan. Yearbook that they do annually got votes. That's a very nice job.
I'm looking through the awards here. Just a few other minor categories. Omega versus Okada is feud of the year.
Nice. Okay. Fair enough.
Most Improved, Juice coming in at number two in Most Improved. I think he was our Most Improved.
Yeah, who won? Who won that?
Braun Strowman.
Well, I mean, you can't go fucking... You couldn't go any further down, that's for sure.
Nope. Most Charismatic, number one. Take a guess, Damon.
Damon McDonald.
No, not Damon McDonald. Tetsuya Naito. You were close.
My second get picked.
You were close. Right.
How did the announcers do? How did Kevin Kelly, how'd he do?
I'm getting there. The Bryan Danielson Award, which is the best technical wrestler. Actually, the top four, all New Japan guys. I'm sure you know who number one is.
Let me guess. Technical wrestler.
Yes.
Well, they like to see, they kind of feel like it's mat work involved, right? So I'm going to say Zach was number one.
Zach was number one, and I think this is his, let's see here, he won in 2014, 15, 16, so fourth year in a row, and before that, it's just all Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. Who came in second?
Second was Kushida.
That's not a bad pick, actually. Okay.
Number three, I apologize. I thought it was a New Japan star. All I saw was Suzuki, but it's Hideki Suzuki.
Yes, okay, so he's... in a lot of, I wouldn't say Japanese independence, but you'll see him on a lot of the big Japan main events, you know, the big beefy main events. All Japan, he worked ice ribbon.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was an intergender match. And it was actually kind of entertaining in a sense of, so I couldn't even tell you who he wrestled, but the young lady would just get squashed. Like, so the bell rings and she charges Suzuki and he just picks her up, puts her down, lays on top of her, pins her. 1, 2, 3, right? 2 seconds. So she gets up. She starts screaming, no, why want another shot? He's like, oh, all right. Comes at it again. Boom. 1, 2, 3, pins again. they did it like 3 times. It was pretty fun.
That's from Ice Ribbon, you say.
That was the Ice Ribbon. That was Ice. That was Ribbon Mania. That was their big show of the year.
I think that's Mackie's favorite show of the year, actually.
It was. I believe he did vote that.
When everyone else is watching Mania, he's watching Ribbon Mania.
So this is how bad the drinking was. So they're like, we were kind of just reminiscing about the shows and blah, blah, blah. And, they were like, yeah, the Ice Ribbon show was the first show we went to. I was like, we didn't go to no fucking Ice Ribbon show. He's like, it was the first show we went to. I was like, 01 was the first show we went to. He goes, dude, we went to Ribbon Mania and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I have no recollection of the show. I was like, I have no recollection of seeing the show, but then I watched the show back and I was like, oh, I fucking remember this show. Okay. Yes. So yeah, that's a embarrassing story, to say the least.
Right. And number four was Marty Scurll. Best technical wrestler.
Okay. I don't know. All right.
Just dead silence for Damon. I thought you had dropped off.
No, I'm here. Okay. I'm shoulder shrugging that one. Okay.
Best brawler. Actually, yep. Tomohiro Ishii, number one. Number two, Katsuyori Shibata. Number three, Minoru Suzuki.
There you go. Fair enough. I wonder how the big horses like the Keith Lees and all those and the Walters.
Walters number four is best brawler.
Oh, he's a fucking beast. Again, progress. Okay.
And just for the record, Tomohiro Ishii has won this award since 2014.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. He's gonna beat Bruiser Brody's record.
And that's what this award is. It's the Bruiser Brody Memorial Award. But best flying wrestler, number one, Will Ospreay.
Okay, fair enough.
Who had won it last year as well. Number two, best flying wrestler, sort of New Japan related. I guess in 2016 it would have been Ricochet.
Okay, yeah.
He was in New Japan for the bulk of 2016, right?
Yeah, till about the summertime or autumn, yeah, okay.
Yep, Rookie of the Year, Kitamura.
Ah, good. Okay, your monster there. Yep. How did our other guy? He's on excursion.
Well, I'm looking at the list here. Oka is number four.
Yeah.
Umino is number six. Leo Tonga is number seven.
There you go. That's fair. That's not that bad. Leo Tonga probably deserves to be in seventh. Okay.
Yeah, sure. And that's all for the New Japan guys. But I think. You were looking for best television announcer.
Yeah, how did our Kevin Kelly do?
Kevin Kelly came in at number five.
Wow.
Shimpei Nogami is ahead of Kevin Kelly.
Yes. What?
Yes, by a couple votes. Shimpei Nogami coming in at number four. Don Callis, number three.
Don Callis beat Kevin Kelly.
Yeah, not only did Don Callis beat Kevin Kelly, Shimpei Nogami beat Kevin Kelly. Corey Graves, number two, and my man Mauro Ranallo, still number one for the past, this is his third year now.
I think Kevin Kelly should be higher.
Oh, absolutely. Go listen to these recent shows where he had all of the guests, where essentially it was just him carrying the entire workload. It was great.
Yeah. All right. Something to strive for. We'll break him into the top three next year. All right.
And lastly, best major wrestling show, New Japan, coming in at number one once again with Wrestle Kingdom 11. And number two was Dominion.
Fair. I mean, that's the way our voting always goes, right? That's fair. What was number three?
Number three for best major wrestling show. Well, actually, it's a UFC show from the Garden. I don't think they should. Well,
yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, yeah.
It's a combat sport show.
HWI is not on that list, right?
No, you know, I'm looking here. I don't even think HWI ever won. I don't think they ever even came in the top 10. Sadly.
That's terrible news. All right, well, listen, that's a clean sweep from New Japan. Good time to do a New Japan podcast, I'd say.
This is our last show.
This is it. We're done. Thanks, everyone, and good night. All right, but speaking of good night, Colin, I before we wrap it up, I do have a small announcement. One, again, this is not a PureCast attended event, unfortunately. We will not be in Long Beach. But if you are attending the Strong Style of Ob show in Long Beach, you know where to go, right, at this point? It's that, Corrugation, right?
Congregation.
Yeah, you know.
It's an alehouse.
It's an alehouse. You know, where the same place we were last year. They got the patio reserved. They will have a raffle and proceeds going to the Takayama Fund, Colin. They have plenty of give. I donated a brand new Japan Pro Wrestling hoodie. There will be other giveaways as well, raffles and prizes and specials. And listen, at the very least, you're going there and you're hanging out with fellow New Japan fans. So please, if you are going to Long Beach, by all means, that's where you want to go, the Ale House Congregation, and have a great time. I expect full reports from everyone via the Twitter box to Colin on the great night that you will all have after Strong Style
Twitter.
Of Long Beach.
What?
I know. Right?
I deleted that app. What are you talking about?
Did you?
No, I still have it. I still check in there. I just don't say a lot. Damon, one more final point I wanted to make. I'm on my Zack Sabre Jr. kick here. Another reason to do Zack versus Okada at Sakura Genesis is because there's also another built-in match you can throw on the card, and that is the Battle of the Hype Men. You can have what do you call it? Ghetto versus Taka.
That's true.
Taka Michinoku.
That put me over the top. Then let's fucking do it.
Battle of the Hype Men and Zach challenging for the heavyweight title. Oh, I can't wait.
That's what dreams are made of, Colin. As Sammy Hagar.
That's right. 51-50. Well, Damon, what do you say we put a bow on the podcast for
that
today?
Those were the exact words I was thinking of, Colin.
Alrighty, very good. So remember, folks, NewJapanPuroCast.com, VoicesOfWrestling.com. We're going to be very busy the next 2 weeks. Of course, March 25th, the Long Beach show, we're going to be talking about that. Week after that, we're going to be talking about Sakura Genesis. So lots going on in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mania is the week after that. Lots of New Japan stars going to be in New Orleans, so no shortage of shows coming your way each and every weekend from Damon and myself. Damon, any final words?
Last word, again, adding to that week, I am going to Austin, Texas. So if you're in the Austin, Texas area, that's that second week of April, maybe we'll do a little get-together and enjoy a cold beer or two. So if you're going to be in that area, keep that week open, and we'll keep you updated as the plans on Austin, Texas.
Hopefully Leatherface hits you up.
You know, the Undertaker lives in Austin, Texas. You know that?
That's right.
All right, maybe I'll see the Dark Man. The Dark Man?
The Dark Man. Well, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week for another edition of the New Japan Hero Cast.